is the IPSI SDA Media Network.
Good morning this morning. Your grace and mercy brought me through. Where would we be were it not for grace? Can you say amen? Amen. Thank you, Pam. Thank you, thank you, thank you. How are you feeling this morning? You doing all right? It's good to be in the house of the Lord, where prayers want to be made, and God is known to answer prayer. So it's good to pray to him always. Amen. We would you would keep all of our people who are sick and afflicted in prayer lifted up before the Master, for with him is infinite power. While there is life, there is hope. And while Jesus lived, there is eternal hope. Amen. So let us put our trust in the Lord our God. Before we open the message this morning, a couple of announcements. I hope you were reminded, department heads, of our personal ministries meeting on tomorrow at 10 o'clock right here at the church. Wasn't that video inspirational about our church's plans to take the gospel to the world, to tell them? Well, we got to tell them around here, amen? And unless you, and if you're an apartment head and you missed the meeting tomorrow, you're going to be on the back edge of a cutting edge about forward progress to reach this community. So you need to be here to get the information, to get the materials you need, so that we can start together to let this community know Jesus lives, he's a loving God, and because he's loving, he's coming back to take us home, amen? And then some of you may not be aware that somebody who hails from the Detroit area has come to the end of their working life is thinking about retirement. I'm speaking of none other than Mr. Lane Todd. You know him as the curator of the campground, keeper of all things Lake Region Camp Meeting, amen? He who keeps the campground clean, who tells his children he don't want to see anything but green grass and brown dirt, that Brother Todd is retiring, and I'll be putting an announcement on the bulletin board announcing his retirement party that will be held in Cassopolis November 13th. I know he's from this area, and you might want to give him a call, talk to him, maybe even drive over and say congratulations for 30 years of service to our young people and to our campground. Can you say amen? Now would you bow your heads with me as we approach the throne of grace. Holy Father, Spirit, Light Divine, we thank you and thank you and thank you again for your grace and mercy, motivated by your love that has called us out of darkness into this marvelous light, that has seen fit through the intervention in our lives in a practical way this week to allow us safety and blessings enough that we might find our way to the house of God to worship you once again. And at thy feet, we find our highest elevation. And so, fill our minds with your spirit, transform us, make today worthwhile because you touch your people. And we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, open them to the book of Micah, a minor prophet with a big message, amen. Micah is found right before Nahum. That ought to help you a whole lot. And right after Jonah, say amen. And we'll be looking at the second chapter. I'm not going to tell you which verse just yet. Micah 2. The message this morning is entitled Codename Breaker. Codename Breaker. It was in the misty light of a cold December morning that special agent Yeshua Mashiach moved virtually undetected across the rugged terrain, inching along on his chest so that he can catch a view of his mission objective. Raising the binoculars of love, he focused, there it was, Earth Prison One. His mission, to break in and to break them free. He checked his equipment, Holy Ghost power pack, fully charged, check. Grace grenades, full complement, check. Fully automatic self-loading word gun, affectionately known as the sword of the spirit, check. He was fully authorized with a license to heal. He was alone. No other agent, operative, or mission specialist could even hope to qualify for this job, but qualify he did. His code name Breaker. Now, this seemingly melodramatic introduction to our message this morning is not an attempt to make Jesus a movie star. He is much more than that. Rather, it is a biblical reference to a little-known messianic title for Jesus, found in the book of Micah, the second chapter, now verse 13. Look at verse 13. I shall read it first in the King James Version and then in the Amplified Version of the Bible. Micah, the second chapter, and verse 13, the Bible says, "The breaker is come up before them. They have broken up and have passed through the gate and are gone out by it, and their king shall pass before them, and the Lord on the head of them." Amplified Version. "The breaker, the Messiah, will go up before them. They will break through, pass in through the gate and go out through it, and their king will pass on before them, the Lord at their head." Code name Breaker. Let me tell you how this name Breaker is a messianic title of Jesus. Study the passage closely. It says that whoever this is will break the gates of the city. Now, usually you break into a city, but commentators say, if you read carefully, that those inside, once he breaks in, shall go out. This is not conquering. This is deliverance. Are you with me, church? They go in. The object here is expressed that they will come out. So evidently, they were confined before. A place of confinement is called a prison. And the commentator says the prison gate will be burst open and they will be set free. Elsewhere in the book of Isaiah, the deliverance from prison is more directly brought out as the work of our Redeemer. He says, "I will give thee for a covenant to the people, for a light to the Gentiles, to open up blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from prison." Then they're sent in darkness out of the prison houses. And our text this morning, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the gospel to the poor, to set at liberty them that are captive, to break the prison doors down." Code name, Breaker. Now, ancient prophecies and commentators said that this passage is actually interpreted as the breaker through. And it is one of the messianic Jewish titles for Christ. They believed that he would come as one that was from both above and below. And also, when he came, he would deliver the captives from Gehenna and Shehinah. Total deliverance from the presence of the Lord, and then the Lord shall be his head. Code name, Breaker. I don't want to water down the message at all. When you read it the way it was intended, this is almost violent stuff. The breaker through is the one who breaks through. It is not a negotiator. It is not a diplomat or an ambassador, a mediator who legalizes and appeals for release of prisoners. He is the one that breaks through. As a matter of fact, this is a Rambo Jesus on a one-way special forces rescue mission. Coming to deliver his people. Think about it. How do you get people out of prison? You break them out. Code name, Breaker. Lest we be offended, let me make it plain. Some are in prison this morning. But I don't have to stress to make an application in that area. When you look at the people he was to break free within the context of our passage, you will see that they were trapped in sin. Israel had had the benefits of many of the prophets, some great, some quote unquote minor, some who carried messages of deliverance, some who carried messages of woe and appeal to them, and this is another one of them. Israel had gotten to a time where they had drifted away from God. And if you read this entire passage, you will see that the whole chapter is a complaint made of the sins of the people of Israel. And they are threatened with punishment for their sins. Listen to some of the sins they are charged with in the passage. They are charged with covetousness, oppression, injustice. And all of this was premeditated. Verse 1 of the passage says that they made up sins upon their beds. Got up in the morning thinking about how they could commit sin. Therefore, the Lord devised evil against them and told them that they would not escape, that he would bring down their pride and make them a lamentation. The rest of the passage goes on to charge them with opposing the prophets of the Lord, the filing of witness that was to be exposed. They were charged with inhumanity and barbarity to their own people. Read the passage. They were charged with taking the houses of widows and selling them for profit. They were charged with taking their children and taking their inheritance away. They were so bad, one translation says that when the soldiers came back from war to come home, they would rob the soldiers of their coats and garments. This was a bad place to live in. Therefore, they are ordered to expect and prepare for removal out of their land, and that they will not have encouragement because they listen to false prophets. Get the picture. These people that the breaker is coming to rescue are not unwilling kidnap victims. Rather, they are inmates by choice in the penal colony of sin. Furthermore, they are fully involved in its lawless pursuits. They like it in jail. There's a strange phenomenon that happens to people who are incarcerated for a long time, especially when the outside is no better than what they have on the inside. They get out and they face the harsh realities of making it on the outside, and they commit a crime just to go back to jail. In jail, they got 3 hot meals a day. In jail, they have some place to lay their heads. In jail, they have a place to fit in. However twisted the hierarchy and the social order in prison is, they have a place in it. They know what to expect, and they feel comfortable in jail. Seems like the breaker has his job cut out for him. So this breaker, the one who breaks through, must do something first for the inmates before he can set them free. Nothing would be worse for the breaker to come through and break down the prison walls, and the inmates say, "Why are you tearing down our walls? Don't you know the warden gonna make us work all day to repair that? Who are you and what are you doing, and by whose authority do you come disrupting our order?" Seems strange to us, but did you know, I don't want to get ahead of myself, we can get so adjusted to sin that we like it, prefer it, get mad when people mess with it. I better move on. Help me, Holy Ghost. So in order to deliver them, listen carefully, he must break through our conditioned sin reflex. There's something in psychology known as conditioning, classical conditioning, that when you do something, you get a reward, you can just offer the reward and you'll do the behavior. You remember the experiment with the dog, Pavlov? Every time he fed them, he rang a bell and the dog would salivate and he got the food. Eventually, without getting the food, he just rang the bell and the dog would salivate. We can get adjusted. We have developed a conditioned sin reflex. It's mostly manifested in God's people when they lose their ability to distinguish right from wrong. They think sin is okay. Go down the list of those sins that those people were committing in this text. It hardly sounds like God's people. But they still lived in the place God gave them. They still had prophets. They still revered the temple. They thought they were God's people all the time, ensconced in sin. The first thing Jesus has to do for us is to help us to recognize sin for what it is, to make us aware of our own sins and weaknesses as sin. See, staying in the same place so long can turn into inertia. Can I coin a new word? Sinertia. I was given a seventh grade definition of inertia as a little boy. If simply put, inertia is the tendency of a body at rest to remain at rest, or the tendency of a body in motion to remain in motion. In other words, you don't want to change. You get caught up on the sin treadmill and becomes part of your life. It becomes your way of coping, of adjusting, of dealing. The glass through which you see society, and it becomes normalized in your own way of dealing. Stuck in sin inertia. Jesus has to come and help us see what sin really is. All of us are prone to it. Don't look at your neighbor. I dare say this morning, there's few of us who don't know that stealing is wrong. Huh? I would be surprised if I went in the post office and saw any of your pictures on the wanted posters. We don't commit sins like that. I'd be surprised if anybody here had a real issue with any of the Ten Commandments. But when it comes down to our own little preferences, our wants, our likes, and our dislikes, when it comes down to our pet sins, when it comes down to controlling the tongue, did you know that the Bible says that that was the definition of perfect religion? Check out the book of James. He that can control that little fire called a tongue, Bible says he is a perfect man. How many have reached perfection this morning? I won't even raise my hand as an example today. But we all have things in our lives that we don't see. One theorist put together something called the Johari's window. I think I mentioned it before. And it's broken our lives to how we relate to people in the four pains of relating, right? Between you and others. The four pains are, if I can recall them, things that you know about yourselves and others also know. Things that you know about yourself or others do not know. And things that others see about you that you don't know. Huh? Gave an example. If you had a good dinner today and you ate some good vegetables and after dinner you had a piece of celery or spinach stuck right here, your friends would know it. But you wouldn't. Right? And did you know that there are people around us who can see our sins and our shortcomings as glaringly as that? Jesus sure sees them. And we walk around sometimes unaware, wondering why we offend people. Wondering why we can't get along. Wondering why our Christian experience is stalemated at a certain point. It's because there are sins in our lives that we are not aware. Could I break it down a little further? Thank you. It is one of the missions and the purpose of the church, from our interaction with each other to help us see things about ourselves that we cannot see. We ought to be glad when somebody points out a defect in our character. But are we? I'm going to preach this sermon one day. It's a sermon about the rich young ruler who came to Jesus and said, "Master, what do I lack?" What a privilege. To go to Jesus and said, "I got everything together. Now, what's the one thing I'm short on?" And then have the Lord tell you, "You got this thing about possessions. You know the law, all that stuff. You've been brought up the right way. But that money, brother, it's killing you. If you don't cut it loose, in a day when they throw money in the streets, you're going to lose your soul. So I'll sell all that you have and give it to the poor." And he just jumped up and reached. And the Bible says he went away sorrowing because he had great riches. He thought he was all right. He couldn't see how riches had their stranglehold about his life. He was such a good Christian, he made special appointment with Jesus to see how he can get better. And when Jesus told him, he got ticked. Pardon my English. Got upset and went away sorrowing. Let me add something right here. Even though, listen, saints, because we all got to get along. Can't we all get along? Let me put it to you this way. Confrontation is not a spiritual gift. I read the list. I don't see the gift of confrontation in there nowhere. But there are some people in the church think they got it. And they love to point out people's sins. Watch out, especially if they have the gift of confrontation clustered with the gift of check yourself revelation. Don't come up to me with that holy and thou attitude. I check you with some revelations about yourself, make your hair curl. In the name of the Lord. It is not our job to willy-nilly walk around pointing out other people's sins. First, take care of your own. And that interaction that's really effectual in helping other people see their shortcomings is not given, bequeathed as a spiritual gift. It is earned through love in relationship with other people. Have you ever noticed that some people can say certain things to certain people that other folk can't say? The difference is relationship. Huh? If you don't have a relationship with somebody, don't get over exercise about their dress. Whew. Huh? If you see them doing something on the Sabbath afternoon, look like they're breaking the Sabbath. If you don't have a relationship, pray. Don't say. Because you don't know what's going on. Do you know that there are valid reasons for somebody to be coming out of the pharmacy store on the Sabbath? Help me, Holy Ghost. Jesus said it's lawful to do good on the Sabbath, and emergencies can be taken care of on the Sabbath. I'm so glad we don't have Pharisaical Sabbath keeping principles in our church, do we? Help me, Holy Ghost. Huh? We know about the Spirit that says if you see your brother in need, if you're planning dinner and you made enough for your family, but then some visitors from out of town came and there's not enough, prayer wouldn't stretch it. But you might need to go by Myers to get some Kool-Aid. Are you listening to me? Somebody see a saint coming out of Myers on the Sabbath day and they call the board. Don't know the person, don't know the circumstances. They had the gift of confrontation. Are you with me, saints? But as we get to know each other and love one another, when we come intertwined in love with one another, when somebody, you could ask them, "Brother, I saw you at the store, everything all right?" And because they know you, they know you're asking in love, not to get on the telephone. Whew. So it's the Lord's job primarily to point out to us our sins. And he who is called code name breaker knows how to break through to our consciousness. It takes longer with some than with others. Are you with me? But Jesus is ultimately in charge. Pray, don't say. Can I ask something else? I don't want to talk about nobody. But people who feel compelled to love others are usually more concerned about making themselves look good than helping you with your spiritual growth. I'm going to leave that alone. Then, he that is called codename breaker not only needs to break through to our sin condition reflex, he needs to break through our comfort zones. There is a prevalent sin in the church. Now, I know y'all want me to call sin by its right name. This sin is called the sin of what always has been. Have you ever noticed how the good old days are revered? Have you? Saints get around Sabbath afternoon dinner went down well on their second piece of pie, third cup of juice, and they begin to remember the way it used to be. Huh? Oh, the good old days. I remember when. And they look at attempts by the church today to meet its culture in a relevant way and say, why can't it be like it was? Simple answer. It ain't like it was. Huh? And if you keep holding on to yesterday, at some point there becomes a disconnect between you and God's will for you. If you're not progressing, you're retrogressing. There is no marking time in the church of God. If you're not moving forward, you're losing ground. Are you with me, saints? So the sin of what has always been is when the church is afraid to try anything new simply because it's different from what we did yesterday. It worked yesterday, didn't it? Yesterday is gone. People change. Our culture changed. Did you know that in order to reach people in today's society, you got to break through the media fog that's around their heads like some dark clouds around Mount Everest's highest peak? Did you know that? Today, people give people credibility and listen to them by the number of times they're on television and their reputation, rather than on the ancient authority of the Word of God. Are you with me? Somebody who grew up just like you and me, but had a talent and got on television and got famous, suddenly has currency that they can go on TV and talk about government. They could talk about religion. They could talk about mores, sexual and otherwise, and the world will follow after them simply because they're on TV. The culture of our young people some years back, whose study said that they give their peers, each other, more credibility than their parents, and it's still happening, have grown up, and now they give media stars more credibility than the church. So if you approach them in the same old ways, you're wasting your time and theirs. Are you with me? We got to find new ways to package the old, old story. We ain't changing the message. Say amen again. We're not changing the message. It is the everlasting gospel, relevant to all ages, but somehow we got to adjust the presentation and try a few new things. put some new wine, grape juice, into new grape containers.
Did I say that right?
Holy Spirit, help me. We have to be able to get out of our comfort zones. There is something known as a comfort zone addiction. Find yourself bound with velvet chains. Just because it's comfortable, that's where you always are. But Jesus, when he breaks through, wants to show us a way to live outside of the prison house of sin. He that is called, codenamed Breaker, also is enabled to break the power of sin. Testimony to ministers, servant of the Lord says, the efficacy of the blood of Christ was to be presented to the people with freshness and power, that their faith might lay hold upon its merits. As the high priest sprinkled the warm blood upon the mercy seat while the fragrant cloud of incense ascended before God, so while we confess our sins and plead the efficacy of Christ's atoning blood, our prayers are to ascend to heaven fragrant with the merits of our Savior's character. Listen to this. Notwithstanding our unworthiness, we are ever to bear in mind that there is one that can take away our sin and save the sinner. Listen, every sin acknowledged before God with a contrite heart, he will remove. There is no sin so big, so great, so well entrenched that Jesus can't break through. He is the deliverer. How do we get to see the way sin the way Jesus does? Two things real quick as I hasten on. Number one, we got to learn how to see sin from God's view, not ours. From the book That I May Know Him, she says, Christ wanted it all. He could not endure that one should be lost. Oh, if the human family could only see the results of sin in the transgression and the violence and crime that exists in the world. If they could see, now listen to this, the transformation of men from the image of God to the similitude of Satan. Man was created pure and holy, but through transgression, he became to possess the attributes of Satan. What are the attributes of Satan? Well, the Bible says he has a problem with the truth. He's a liar, the Bible says, and the father of lies. You know why truth is in such short supply today? Men have acquired the attributes of Satan. The Bible says also that he is a murderer from the beginning. In other words, if there's a problem with him and you, he considers murder a just way of dealing with the issue. You don't agree with me? Can't use you no more? Get rid of you. The devil promises you the world and pays you in counterfeit money. You can't trust him. Do you know why so many people get on the news from plotting the death of their spouses? It used to be unheard of that normal, everyday, 9-to-5 working people would hire hitmen. But you know, my wife, she doesn't agree with me anymore. I want her to change jobs. She don't want to change jobs. I want to move. She got an insurance policy of $30,000, so guess. Solution to my problem is, do you know someone who could help me? And it astounds me. Week after week, I see on the news people who were caught red-handed talking to FBI agents who they thought were hitmen to arrange the death of close loved ones for money, and sometimes less than that. Some girl at the office fluttered her eyelashes at him. Some man flexed his muscles. And now they want to put a contract on their spouses. Didn't say that to shock you, but to get us in touch with what sin can do to you and to me. That's what sin is all about. It depraves us. It brings us down. God sees us the way he made us in his image. I dare say none of us have really seen that. We can get close to it a little bit by talking about Adam, the way he was made, perfect, massive, masculine, sinless, no disease, right? His mind neither predisposed toward evil, but capable of doing good, a character to be perfected by choosing to do good. And because of sin, it's been a downhill, muddy slide ever since. And we see sin as our natural environment. It's an intruder in the universe of God. So we get rid of sin and see it the right way by seeing it from God's viewpoint. And then we should remember that when we willfully sin, we crucify the Son of God afresh. If you're in love with Jesus, you can't hurt somebody that you love. Father, I like doing this. I've been doing this since I was a child. Parents did it. My mom thought it was okay. But now I see that it breaks the heart of Jesus for me to be trapped on this treadmill. And because I love you, Father, set me free. That's love. That's why this whole thing about Christianity is not about keeping rules. It's falling in love with Jesus. If you can manage that, your Christian experience will be totally different than it is today. Then he who's called Codename Breaker also knows how to break every obstacle that would stand in the way of our deliverance. In Bible days, rocks or stones were a big deal. They're nothing to us now. We have earth-moving equipment, don't we? But you remember that text that says that John would be the one to go before Christ and he would make the crooked straight and the rough places plain? That's because the roads in those days, you fix them 1 week, little rain, wash it off, those same rocks you move, come back up. They were impassable for horses and chariots. So when the king came through, they would send a road crew through to take the rocks out of the way. There were big rocks and massive rocks. I was watching the TV the other day, and while California was being rained on and shaken, and they had the mudslides, a big old boulder rolled down the hill from a ledge and blocked a major highway. This boulder was higher than an 18-wheeler and in circumference larger than some of the small water tanks that sit up on towers. This rolled down the hill and blocked the road. It was a mass. They say it weighed about 80 tons. Even with our earth-moving equipment, it took them some while, but they moved it. Now, I'm here to tell you, Jesus has experience dealing with stones. A friend of his was caught behind a stone in a tomb named Lazarus. First thing Jesus said on the resurrection day when he did his greatest miracle, roll away the stone. And then when Satan thought he had him imprisoned in death that he didn't deserve, the first thing the angel did was roll away the stone. And in the words of Max Lucado, he still rolls away the stones. What are the obstacles in your life that stand between you and a full, committed, radical relationship with Jesus? They are nothing for him, but he is the one who breaks through. Read Isaiah. He says, he will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. He breaketh through whatever would hold us back or oppose us. All might of sin and death and Satan, as Moses opened the Red Sea for a way for the ransom to pass over, so he says, I will go before you and break in pieces the gates of brass and cut asunder the bars of iron. If there was any obstacle that Jesus couldn't break through and move, he wouldn't be God. We studied some time ago, last quarter, about being the Lord, having Jesus being the Lord of our lives. He's the Lord of our obstacles. So I don't know what it is that stands between you. I just want to tell you this morning, there is no more excuse. He can move it today if you'll let him. He will take your doubts and roll them away. He will take your weaknesses and strengthen them. He will make you a mighty conqueror. There is nothing that you can surround yourself with that Jesus cannot break through. Oh, yeah. He's also the icebreaker. He makes the first move. Every man knows while he's single. If he were to ever have permanent companionship of a young lady with a lovely smile, demure countenance, talents, and a come-hither look, he must get used to breaking the ice. Some will reject you. Hello, my name is Ben. What's yours? Not interested. Well, Miss Knott, if you change your mind, I'll be on the other side of the room. I want you to know I am interested. I'll check with you later. Over and over again, you got to break the ice. When it comes to our relationship with God, he doesn't wait for us to make the first move. He makes it for us. As early as the beginning and the genesis of sin, Jesus was already moving toward wayward man. When Adam sinned in the garden, God came looking for him. Adam, where art thou? God knew where he was, but God had to break the ice. Consider your ice broken. No. I'm not taking too much upon myself to say that God is speaking to somebody here this morning. I just do it on the authority of the Word of God, that whenever his word is preached, it will not return unto him void. And this morning, I declare in the name of Jesus, somebody has been set free. He who is the one who breaks through got through somebody's resistance today. He who is the one who has never known defeat when he set his mind to delivering one of his children has received permission from the inside to come on in and deal with an obstacle that's been there for years. He that will lead you to your breakthrough, if you will follow him, has new followers this morning. Are you one of them? While I was in Chicago, there was just a church. Inner City had a television program every Sunday. I watched it every now and then. Pretty good preacher. Good singing, all of that stuff. He called his television program the Breakthrough Hour. That's what this morning has been. Are you set free? You bow your heads with me. Father in heaven, we are so glad to know a different aspect of your character and personality. Now we know you to be the one who breaks through. Some here today are bound by sickness. Some here today are bound by sin. Some here today hadn't had themselves in a prison of doubts and pain. Some here today had lost hope. Somebody here today saw an obstacle they knew that was not there, that they had never seen before. But now, because they have confidence in your new name, the one who breaks through, Lord, we ask you and give you permission to come visit our own personal selves and set us free. Help us to love you supremely and to love one another as ourselves, and lead us through your breakthrough today. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.